The scripture this morning is found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 14. I think the pew page is 992. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Bless God's word.
It's amazing how when a lot is cleared, people pay attention. They ride by, there's a lot of speculation as to what's going to go on that lot. How much it'll cost, whether it'll stand the test of time or not. Sometimes it's amazing that some of us even attempt to build anything. A little over a week ago, I was replacing a board on the front step on our deck, and I hit one nail three times, and on the third time, I actually hit two nails because I glanced off one and hit another one. Construction equipment moves into different places. We begin to speculate. Workers begin to come around. We wonder what's going to be built. We look at what the materials are, some of us with a more critical eye than others. And most of us don't really stop to think about those materials used unless it's in our own house, on our own business, do we? Some years ago, we went on a cruise, and one of the places that we stopped was in Belize, which is the only Latin American country in which English is the official language. And we noticed all of these houses in Belize as we were in the port and other places, all these houses in Belize that you had one floor completed and part of a second floor, but it wasn't completed. And there were people living around and everything. And we found out later on from one of the persons on the tour with us talking with some folks that in Belize, at least at that time, and I think it's still current, you don't pay property taxes on your home until it's completely finished. And so what you do, you build an area in which you're definitely going to live, and then on the second floor or somewhere in the back, you have a room that you just never quite seem to finish. And so you don't pay taxes on the property. We recently had some flooring done at our house. And for 4 weeks, we lived with a torn-up house. We picked out some wood. They came along, went to put, it had to season in your house for a week. They came along and went to put down the wood, and about a third of the way through the living room, come to find out that that particular type of wood, that particular thickness, was cut wrong. And about a third of the wood that they were running into was cut too wide to fit together. Somebody in materials inspection missed the boat. So we ordered some more of the same kind and the same thickness. And they came back. It sat in the house for a week. And then they showed up, started putting it down, got half of it down, and then it was rippling, looked like ripples on a pond. And they said, well, only moisture causes that. So our townhouse is on a slab, so they put the moisture meter down, and the concrete was within normal limits, and they slapped it on the wood. It's not supposed to be over 11% moisture content, and it was 12.5% to 14%, depending on where they put it. And they couldn't figure it out. I said, how about look in the box? And they started pulling wood out of the box, and at just about every piece they pulled out ran 13 to 14% moisture content. There was a problem with the materials. However, we now have a floor, because the next materials they brought out, a different kind of floor, fit together, and it's doing fine. The materials made a difference, as well as some of the workmanship. Whether it's a wood floor or whether you're measuring for something, hammering nails, you find all kinds of tools that are used. This is the culprit hammer. And I wasn't just tapping either. Or levels, or various types of nails. All kinds of materials that are used when houses are being built or other buildings are being built. But I also want us to look at various materials being used in other things. Not just whether you're checking out cabinetry or floors or the studs in the wall. I've been amazed. You go into some of these places and you see guys pulling out two befores. And I mean, they look to see if it's got any bend or anything in it. And they throw them back and pull them out. Checking for quality in the materials and then assuring, we hope, good workmanship. I will tell you one more little story before we move along. When we were having our townhouse built, we met with electricians, plumbers, painters, cabinetry persons, and I was pretty much a thorn in the flesh for the supervisor of the project because I was there every day looking at things. Why? Because we wanted to assure that things were done well and what was being built was sturdy and would withstand wear and tear. Well, Paul talks in a similar fashion about workmanship, and I think about materials here in this particular passage in what we call 1 Corinthians. He has just before this addressed the fact that different workers had been involved in the work of the church at Corinth. And each one had played a part in what had been accomplished so far. He calls the people's attention to understand that they are fellow workers for God, and that they themselves are God's building, both individually and collectively. He does this in verse 9. And he also comes back to talk about how we are God's temple, starting in verse 16. And while he is talking about individuals there, he's also talking about collectively the church. And here, Paul reiterates his contention that the church is a place in which all have a place, and in which each one has a part in the work. It's not just for a select few, but each person has a part in the work. And each person is to have a place within the church. On numerous occasions, the Apostle Paul uses building metaphors concerning the church. And he shows that the material, the building itself, should be sound, and the material should be able to stand testing and stresses, which he often represents by fire. Testing and stresses in life, spiritually and otherwise. Now, Paul had helped lay the foundation for the Corinthian church. That we know. And there had been others involved, including Apollos, and who became a super apostle in the Corinthian church, and still others. In fact, Paul refers here to himself as a skilled master builder according to God's commission of grace. Now, the commission actually is not an authoritative commission, though Paul oftentimes takes that tack. But rather, this commission means the gift that God gave. In fact, the word is sometimes used to speak of a gift that is given. His commission is the gift that God has given him in helping to build the church. Therefore, God was the one credited with Paul's ability to build. The Greek that we translate here, master builder, is architecton. Guess what word we get from that? Absolutely, architect. Arch actually means chief, and tecton means builder or carpenter. He was the chief builder, the chief carpenter, architecton. Now, most architects these days don't actually do the building, they do the designing. So we've kind of gotten away from that in a sense. But Paul knows that his job is not just to help plan what is to take place, but to actually be involved in building as a master or chief carpenter, a chief builder of the church. And that he has done his job in laying a strong foundation, a foundation in Christ. However, Paul does continue to acknowledge that he's not the only builder. In fact, he says, and others, or someone else, is building upon that foundation. The foundation, of course, he says, is Jesus Christ and his message, which Paul says form the only sure foundation for the church. Paul, though, is a strong and careful craftsman. And we find here that he is concerned about the type of work and materials that are used to build the church and to build upon that foundation that he has helped to lay. He issues a warning to continue building, to take care how he builds. When he says someone is building upon it, take care how he builds. The important point that Paul wants to make is that we must be careful of the quality of the material as well as the skills that are used in building the church. And he describes two contrasting types of materials. You might expect Paul to talk here about bricks and mortar and beams in building this building, but he doesn't talk about those, doesn't mention them at all. He talks about gold and silver and precious stones, things that no builder would use except in ornamentation, sprucing up the look of the building. But Paul seems to use them to speak of durable items. Durable items that are used in contrast to those things that are not very durable. Wood and hay and stubble. I'm almost tempted to tell the little story, but all of y'all would know that huffing and puffing will blow down hay and sticks, straw. At least that's what the pigs found out in the Three Little Pigs. But Paul is trying to contrast, I think, here, both the durability of the gold and the silver and the precious stones with the wood and the hay and the stubble that will not stand the testing and the trials that come in life. When trials and testing come, those durable items will be able to weather the heat of the moment and to prove that the building is indeed strong. Those who use inferior materials and craftsmanship, he says, will find ruin when the fire comes. In fact, they will be destroyed when the fire comes, and their work will be destroyed when the fire comes, the trials and the testing. Each type of material and the depth of preparation and craftsmanship would show its quality in times of trial and trouble. This is the case in Paul's mind. This is what he's concerned with as he is away from the Corinthian church and as he has heard about all kinds of factions in the church. Groups fighting each other. Groups saying that their group's better than another. Groups of persons in the church at Corinth looking down on others. And so Paul is concerned about the church and the quality of what's going on there. But he's also concerned not just about the church as a whole, but individual Christians, because the individual Christians make up the church and build the church. In fact, Christianity, as Paul understands it, is all of life guided by Christ. That's Christianity. All of life is guided by Christ through the Spirit. Therefore, all work and all service we do, we are doing unto Christ, if we truly do it in His name. Which makes even the most mundane daily task worthwhile. We are each to make contributions to the building up. The word is edify, the edification, the building up, the uplifting of the church. Not as so many times we experience in churches in our world, tearing down. We are to build up, working together, using the best materials possible, using the best craftsmanship that we can. Paul consistently teaches personal responsibility. If you look throughout the New Testament in his letters, he consistently teaches personal responsibility for each person's life, and that we will all give an accounting of our preparation and of what we have done. But we also will find ourselves having certain responsibilities, morally and spiritually, to build the very best church that we can, using the very best materials that we can be. For you see, we are among the materials used in building that church. Wait a minute. The best materials that we can be? Absolutely. John Short, writing in a commentary on 1 Corinthians, writes that Paul seems to feel, and I quote, "It is possible for one of good character to be guilty of poor workmanship. The latter will be destroyed, though the teacher will be saved despite the destruction of his work." Grace is here operative. Yet let it be remembered that the achievement of moral quality is bound up with good workmanship. Here as elsewhere, the good workman will prepare himself before he starts his task. Paul is also enough of the Jew, bred in the old tradition of belief that God assigns rewards and punishments for tasks achieved or left undone. One must put in the best work on the great foundation, which is Jesus Christ. End of quote. We are the materials used in building the church. And our craftsmanship, individually and collectively, must be constantly inspected and improved upon if the church we are going to build will truly be God's temple. The immaturity of the Christians in Corinth, though many of them didn't think they were so immature, did not mean that they were not the temple of God, but that immaturity was shown, as I mentioned earlier, by factions and parties who divided the church fellowship, and others who refused to step up and to help build the church with their own craftsmanship. For each one had been given a commission by God, a commission of grace, to share that grace. The Spirit indwelling the church is to be allowed to establish unity, a consensus, rather than the disunity of me or mine, which showed poor craftsmanship, which weakened the church at Corinth and weakens churches even today. The church is set apart, according to Paul, to be the instrument of God's purpose in the world, a purpose of crafting places and people of mercy and strength. The materials, our personhood, our Bible, our spirit, our lives. The preparation of the craftsman, Bible study, in Sunday school, in worship, at home, using study aids, prayer multiple times a day, and gathering for worship and fellowship. Craftsmanship, working at our study, working at relationships, and living lives of worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H-ship. in building up the church into a fellowship of caring, faithful, and faith-filled believers. A temple in which God's grace and graciousness is found not just for a few, but for all who will come. Given the materials and the preparation, and given the materials and your own preparation, we go back to the question listed in the bulletin. What will you build? And what will we build together? Our closing hymn is hymn number 572. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We sing that and we claim that. Do we build it? And build upon it, is our question. So as we sing, as we stand together, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that decision would be a first-time profession publicly of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, to join with this fellowship, to use your materials and your preparation and your craftsmanship, or to recommit yourself to our work together. Number 572, Blessed Assurance.